Eurocontrol. Aviation Straight Talk. Live.
Welcome to another of the Eurocontrol Aviation Hard Talk Live series. Thanks for joining us. This is the series where, for the last few months, we've been talking about the situation in the aviation industry and how it is that we can come back and what it is that we come back to when we build back better. I'm delighted to say that today we are looking at the perspective of the airports, and we have Mr. Jos Lammers with us. He is two things relevantly to this. He is the CEO of Munich Airport, Europe's sixth largest airport, but also he's the president of the European Airports Trade Association, the ACI. Jos, welcome to Hard Talk. Thank you for joining us. You became the CEO of Munich Airport on the 1st of January. Great time to start.
Yeah, indeed. First of all, good afternoon, Andrew, and also special thanks to, I think, Eamon and to Eurocontrol for inviting me for this platform and for the interview today. So happy to be here. And yeah, you're right, Andrew. 1st of January, the world was still shiny and beautiful. I was a proud CEO, newcomer at Munich Airport. Things looked promising. Record year behind us in 2019 at Munich, and all the bright future ahead of us. So that was when I started. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it wasn't personal to you. So the situation for airports across Europe at the moment, as the president of ACI, how would you describe it?
I think this is really a shocking reality we're all in now. I think if you look at it from, if you can look from it at outside, you cannot really feel how it looks from outside if you're day by day working in this industry at the airports. But I think it's, as you said, it's unprecedented, this crisis. It's something so big. And I think with over 20 years at airports now in Europe, I could have never imagined something like this going on, hitting us, hitting the industry, but especially all us airports, across all the lines, regional airports, small ones, big ones, hubs, international, point to point. I mean, it's all of us. We're all sitting in the same deep crisis, and this is really something extraordinary.
So what does the future look like for airports then? We heard from Eamon there's good news, the possible vaccine. There's 15,000 flights needed to get the vaccine distributed. How do the airports pull out from here?
I think indeed. I mean, first of all, it's good news if really the vaccine is on its way. I think we're all desperately looking forward to get really the positive impacts out of this. And I think, as we all know, that's what's hitting us at the moment. All the travel restrictions and quarantines across Europe and to third markets. So with all this expectation that with the vaccine, we will see a better future and things starting to open again. But I think that's the good news. The bad news is, for me already, we have all factored this into our business plans already, I assume. We have all forecasted already for recovery next year. And I need to say this is still something we have no guarantees for. We don't know what will really happen. When will it really open the markets and reduce travel restrictions? So I think that's bad news somehow. We're assuming this already, and we don't know what happens after lockdown number two we are in right now. We cannot exclude a lockdown number three. So, of course, in general, I'm positive, assuming we will get recovery, but still a very long way, a difficult winter ahead of us, horrible winter schedule for us all. And the summer is, again, more than open, and no guarantees that things come back.
Wow. So do you think airports are increasingly needing to be much more flexible to react really quickly to these things?
I think so. This is one of the takeaways and all of the lessons we all needed to learn. Immediately when the coronavirus hit us with the first lockdown in spring, we all immediately needed to handle our capacities differently, our resources. We were all of us closing terminals, infrastructure, satellite buildings, even runways. We were all immediately handling the cost side, our OPEX, to reduce cost as much as possible. We're working with all kinds of concepts in terms of organization and headcount reduction. So yeah, indeed, I think this was a very hard but also quick lesson to learn for everyone. And I'm there to say this will be also part of the future, right? This flexibility we gained and to operate on such a basis.
Normally, when one thinks of airports, one doesn't necessarily think of really fast moving and flexible. I mean, one of the great arguments in aviation is that the airlines are very flexible and they can move their assets anywhere. And airports, of course, have huge inflexible assets. That sort of really rapid reaction, was that a culture shock, do you think, to the airports?
I think so, very much. I think so. Well, I think so. Exactly what you described. I think on the one end, we are the infrastructure providers. We are operating in terms of master plans. We are thinking ahead for 10, 20 years, decades. That's how we use to develop capacity to build new terminals and runways. So I think that's on the one end. And I think this is also the special challenge these days to balance. On the one hand, we all still believe, I think, into our long-term development plans. But on the other hand, we need to adjust to the short-term needs and goals. And I think this is something new that is really challenging you every day, that you think and no longer in, again, only months and years and decades, but you need to react within a day, within a week to capacity needs, to requirements from airline partners, health authorities, the general public. So, yeah, it's business becomes more agile and requires much more flexibility from all of us.
Yeah. How do you see the airlines reacting as your customers? Do you think they're in the same boat, or are they suddenly becoming more steady in what they do?
I think it was also interesting and same experience to some extent on their side. I mean, talking about airlines, of course, as you are aware, we have different kind of airline models. Our network operations and network airlines have, of course, a different way to go if you immediately reduce your capacity, if you go down with your operations, for instance, at a hub airport like Munich. This is different than maybe the very agile flexibility model of ultra low-cost carriers, which is much more used to work and operate from one day to the other to stimulate capacity, to move aircrafts around. And this is a totally different world than like network carriers planning and organizing hubs operation in schedules. Yeah, but what I think is really interesting to see now also network airlines were very much, I think, at the forefront to reduce and to get used to really flying basically without a schedule in a diverted commas. Yeah, I think they really were successfully managing this challenge for them to really test the market, to try something, test and trial, trial and error, and just to do something with their capacity to see where could they open markets, stimulate some flights, and 3 weeks later there's again a travel restriction, and yeah, you go the other way around. So I think it was an interesting period so far for everyone.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things come out of that conversation, I think. We're going to talk about slots, I can assure you of that. And, of course, I love that expression, stimulate the market, by which you mean lower prices. So, obviously, we'll talk about airport charges as well. But before I get to that, how do you think the aviation industry is going to look at the end of this crisis and 5 years from now? How do you think it's going to be different?
Well, I think, again, starting with us airports, I think lesson learned tells me there's also and always something that will stay. If we look back after 9/11, all the security regimes we have developed, safety we have anyhow on the forefront and on top of it. But I could imagine there's some features, maybe elements after this crisis that will also stay and change the way we are operating, for instance, airports in terms of health requirements, pandemic requirements. So I think there might be elements that will stay and will continue to be part of our daily life at airports. I think in general, the requirements will increase for airports to really also managing this part successfully of our business to provide solutions, requires a lot of cooperation with airline partners, requires even more, let's say, challenges for us in terms of capacity, right? I mean, the new rules, distances and to keep distance, this has an impact on the capacity of a terminal. So I think in 5 years from now, I hope the immediate challenge is gone. We will see again a lot of passengers traveling. Things are back to some kind of normal, but it will be also kind of new normal. Some things will stay. That's my expectation here.
Do you think the airlines will have changed their shape at all, or do you think we'll go back to having big legacy carriers, long-haul network carriers using hubs, and low-cost carriers using smaller airports, more regional airports?
Well, I think, first of all, I believe the general market dynamics, the competition environment of the airline and the aviation business in general in Europe is still intact. That means it will continue to have really a lot of competition, growing competition, less players. I think the consolidation of the market will continue. I think this crisis, like previous crises, will just enforce certain players to be survivors and to be the winners of this crisis. On the other part, I think it's also interesting, maybe what you mentioned, the traditional carriers or even some national carriers, if you want to use that term. I think they have also now a new, they get a new tailwind there. If you see all the state aid, I mean, the billions of euros coming down, that will also, to some extent, extend the competition, will give, again, new market access for certain airline partners to stay in the market who, without such state aid, might have a more difficult time to face. So I think, in general, we will go and continue the same way. But what I said before, I think there will be learnings also for network carriers in terms of organization, the traffic, also part of the capacity. They've taken a lot of capacity out of the market. So they may shrink, they may reduce capacities, strengthening the hub and the hubbing traffic. But I think there's also some learning in terms of what I call flying without a schedule, being more flexible, using capacity here or there just to take opportunities for certain periods, for certain markets only. So I think that is something I could imagine they will take away from the crisis.
Right. Munich, of course, Europe's sixth largest airport, has a very, very strong relationship with Lufthansa and is Lufthansa's second hub. Are you confident that Lufthansa will continue its operations at similar sorts of levels after the crisis?
I think we will see them very much continue and to grow and to return to the old strength of the Munich Airport hub. As you know, we are very proud to be the only five-star hub here. We have really a premium segment here to serve. And what I think is, of course, what we will see at the very short term, you know, to rebuild hub is much more complicated than start point-to-point traffic immediately. So I think it will take more time. It will take the time to establish first the structure of the network again, to rebuild it. Then you strengthen the network by increasing frequencies, increasing the size of the aircraft. So I think it's more building back to something, while again on a point-to-point traffic with immediately restart, you will be much faster. But in the midterm, I think we are very optimistic. I think we feel the joint spirit with our partnership here with Lufthansa. You know, we even operate our Terminal 2 system with them. It's a big benefit to really having joint interests here and a joint focus on priorities. And that will help us, again, to return very quickly to the level of success we had before as a European national global.
Indeed. Thank you for raising that, because it is another topic of deep interest to me. The relationship that Munich and Lufthansa has is much, how do I say this nicely, friendlier than the relationship between a lot of other airports and airlines. And indeed, am I right that there's some profit sharing or something like that in Terminal 2? Is that the nature of the relationship?
Indeed, the logic of this Terminal 2 cooperation and joint venture, it's a joint venture in the sense of 60-40%.
60 to the airline or 60 to the airport?
60 to the airport. It's our land, it's our facility, it's our area that we develop. But again, it's a really, I think, the perfect way to cooperate, because all the revenue streams we are generating in the aviation field, but also in the non-aviation field. So we really bring it all into one, I wouldn't call it the single till model, but it is really, if I think about it, even without developing on that one, it is really to that extent helping a lot in the partnership, because you really balance always the needs. What is priority? The operational aspect, the commercial aspect, shopping, retail. So you can really jointly develop this with your individual competences. I think we are very strong on the operations, on the non-aviation side. We are very strong on the technical and master planning. Of course, also the coordination. And again, Lufthansa bringing traffic, bringing know-how, bringing the network. I think this is, and it's not only Lufthansa, it's a Star Alliance hub in that sense, so it's a joint exercise. So yeah, this is really unique. And I think it especially helps you also in the crisis, because it's not only nice and shiny if you grow, but I mean, also the opposite then helps if you are partners in this.
Oh, okay. So you've been sharing some of the downside as well as some of the upside. Two questions come from that. The first one is, how do the other airlines that fly to Munich feel about that relationship that you have with the Star Alliance? I know that Ryanair and Wizz and EasyJet what have you fly to Munich as well. Do they feel left out of that?
Well, I don't think so, because I think on the other hand, we are, I think, really covering all the needs for all our airline partners. Although Lufthansa is a very strong for our Terminal 2 system, we have another terminal, luckily, that was the first terminal at Munich Airport before this cooperation with Lufthansa took place, and that is Terminal 1. And that provides really a lot of nice facilities. We're just now investing over 450 million euros again to refurbish and implement new systems there. So this is exactly the product we can offer for all other airline partners. And it's also a very nice one. We're using the airside capacities together. No, I think don't feel there's also a nice way of handling the situation. I think that works perfectly at this stage and provides for everyone whatever you want and fly into Munich. I think what you mentioned is rather the difficulties, of course, in terms of slots and constraints. We have more from the capacities in general. That's why we have the structures of our traffic as we have it today.
So let's turn to slots, if I may. Thank you for raising the matter of slots. The ACI, as a general comment, ACI Europe, as opposed to ACI World, ACI Europe, as a general comment, is resisting any sort of slot freeze and slot, you know, slot waiver and what have you. Is that going to be the situation in Munich as well?
Well, I think, of course, we are also part of ACI, and I think we're also having our German associations on this one. And, of course, you are perfectly right. Slots is a very much a very deeply disputed item also among airports because, of course, everyone has different needs, requirements, airline partners. And so I think this is really a specific topic what's not always easy to align. I think what for us in Munich, but I think also for ACI Europe is our position there is, I think we want to be partners in this because, I mean, slots at the end of the day is our capacity at the airport. So I think the basic concern was always for us airports that we have no say in this, right? I mean, it's not us being involved into the distribution of slots. So I think that's also what you raised now in this situation where we really, of course, we want to help the industry. We all want to provide the opportunity to return with our traffic. But of course, we also want to be partner in this. And partner means also you are asked, you can jointly agree on the terms and conditions, how to handle slots, what are the conditions for a waiver, how to make sure that you can provide as an airport always a level playing field, right? We want to, of course, to some extent, depending always on the airport, stimulate growth, stimulate also competition, want to have really a rich variety of airline partners. So I think that is more the gist. That's important for us that we want to be asked, we want to be involved. And I think in this regard, we also could find solutions for the waiver for the running winter schedule season, as you see. And I think we are all very, very much cooperating in this at the moment.
Encouraging innovation and new carriers and different carriers to come to your airport is obviously a good thing, unless you're Lufthansa, isn't it? In Munich, surely they're not so keen on having competitors come into the airport.
Of course, I mean, I think it's not only for us here, but I think you have always traditional carriers, you have strong partners. Everyone has a traffic profile and an airline partnership structure that has been grown over the years. And I think it also depends always on the markets you want to serve and the opportunities to have. And as you know, we are very much in the last 10, 15 years, we Munich was successful on building really from scratch a hub airport that really provides great services. And I think we believe and also rich connections for more than 260 destinations directly from Munich. And I think that is very important for us, for the region. Mm-hmm. For the economy to really provide such a network. And as you know, still it's the best way how to handle this magnitude of destinations. It's still the best way always to have a transfer hub, to have hub and spoke operation, to really rotate passengers around and to fill the aircraft. And I think that's very much our business model that was successful. And that's, of course, we're very much looking to develop this again also after this crisis. But again, this does not exclude. We have some low-cost partners here, airport partners. And this is more maybe in general than, of course, also, you know, it's always about slot availability, but also about pricing. We have regulated charges in Germany and Europe. So I think it's also part of the truth. It's coming from that side as well.
Well, we need to move on. We've got lots to talk about, but I'm really interested. First, I think, do you see low-cost carriers pushing into hubs, or do you think they're going to stick to some of the lower, the smaller, more regional airports? That's my first question. And secondly, as you rightly said, charges in Europe are very heavily regulated, which must surely make it more difficult to attract new airlines. Wouldn't you like to see a situation where you had a lot more freedom in your charging?
Yeah. So to your first question, I think this development has started already before Corona, that it's no longer true that low-cost carriers or ultra-low-cost fly only to the regional airports. You know, they were very, let's say, opportunistic. They are using opportunities to enter new markets. If you look around now at European airports, I think all major airports, the bigger hubs, the secondary hubs, we all have now learned the business of how to handle low-cost operations. And I think we also need to confirm they are bringing growth, they're bringing opportunities. So I think this is, again, the way forward. They are part of the mainstream and part of the big airports. And to your second point, indeed, I mean, we have on the one hand regulated charges, but I think what was quite interesting to see during this crisis, I think more than 90%, 98%, I was reading of all our airports in Europe, we're all offering incentive schemes, right? Mm-hmm. We all need to offer something. We need to rebuild our traffic even more after this crisis. So I think there are schemes, incentive schemes in place. We can handle them. I think we can offer opportunities here. But what I think is always important to make sure this must be transparent, non-discriminatory. It must be objective. So the criteria, and I think that's maybe sometimes what certain airline partners do not like. We treat them all the same. We must treat them the same way. But again, I think the tools are there. And maybe to connect to this, I think that's what I also see. Of course, the pressure is getting bigger and bigger now on us airports. Mm. Since years, we are saying in Brussels, there was so much airport competition now, really airport competition, less airlines, consolidations, there's so much purchasing power and so many small airports, medium-sized, big airports. So we are competing for the same cake, and I believe this will come back after this crisis.
Do you see the airports responding by consolidating? Is there any sort of chance for the airports to become big in the way the airlines did?
I think there are some nice examples already. I mean, especially in Europe, I think we have some really successful bigger airport groups already. I mean, you know them from AENA, from Aéroport de Paris. We have Fribourg, Zurich. We have also in the UK partners there. So I think there's also on that front already some airports. But I think it's also true still that our business is much more driven. We are connected to the ground. We are operating an airport. We cannot move it around. Of course, maybe we have several airports in one network. But again, airlines are much more agile to move around. Airlines are much more agile to move around the aircraft and the capacity. While we always can provide capacity only in a destination where we're living and where we're operating an airport.
Yeah. So what about the other great relationship at an airport that often gets overlooked, that with the ANSP? Would you like to take over control of your tower at Munich?
I don't think so. I'm happy to have them as partners here. I mean, I think this is also, I agree, it's an important leg also of our operation always. I think what is important for us and to see everywhere the improvements in the years already, to have really service provider mentality. I think that is important. We, at the end of the day, all working for the same customer, for the passenger. We are operating an airport or an airline, or we operating and managing the airspace. So I think this really ecosystem, I would call it, this ecosystem of aviation, to provide at the end a great product, a flexible product, a product that also has economies of scale and reducing costs. The cost basis is important for everyone. I think in that sense, I think it's good to have good partners with our NSPs everywhere. But of course, to also have joint relations, commitments, maybe KPIs, that would of course always be appreciated. And I think that's a way forward to really get commitments from everybody. How can we, again, improve the journey from A to Z for a passenger?
Is your ANSP, DFS, interested in that sort of a total journey KPI approach, do you think? Go on, name names.
Yeah. No, I think it's not a secret. I think what I realize is from also my previous airports experience, always you have, of course, usually a very good and close relation with your local team from the tower. You're really coordinating, you're running this airport or your airports always together. You're managing, you're planning ahead, the resource allocation. I think all this goes hand in hand. But I could imagine that also if you look at the German or the European level, I think that would be more my point, to look at how we can really see to improve their standards, standardization, less complexity, also commitments, firm commitments on how to allocate resources. So I think that would help also to improve, as we all know, still our joint project, Single European Sky, still an important one to move ahead with. So, yeah, I think topics do not change. And I think that's something also after this crisis should not go away. We need to push for more.
Right. So topics not changing. Here's another one, but maybe the speed is moving because of COVID. What about the technology at an airport? What technologies do you think we're going to use going forward?
I think everyone gets a lot of push these days also to improve, for instance, on digitalization, to increase really the usage everywhere. We were very happy just last week at Munich now. We have the digital access with biometrics to our security areas, but also to the boarding area. We have there jointly with Lufthansa and Starlines now this biometrics. This took us a long period of time, data protection and things. But in the crisis, things suddenly may move faster. So we got all the approvals from authorities and now it's just implemented. And I think that's what we all will see and need to push for, to have more touchless elements in our journey. Yeah, still at the end of the day, less operation, physical operation in the terminals. But again, digitalization can provide a lot of solutions. We have them at hand. We just need to invent them, invest and implement them now. And I think that is, for me, one of the biggest learnings, to really push for digitalization as much as you can.
So how do you see that? I'm laughing at the irony of having digitalization at hand, of course, but leave that aside for a moment. How do you see the passenger journey then? I'm going to pre-check in online. I'm going to get to the airport. They're going to read my eye. Is that what it is, or...?
Yeah, that's what now we. That's the technology with biometrics. It's your iris, and then you're getting the gate opening for entering security areas. I think still on security, that will be the hardest one to find their solutions. Besides, of course, the scanner technologies we already have. I think there's another new feature, and that connects nicely to your earlier question: what will stay after this crisis? We have now a new product. Also, I mean, also jointly with Lufthansa, pushing this for so-called tested flights. So it means everyone on board of an aircraft, all passengers and crew, had before departure a negative corona and COVID-19 test. So I think this could be another element, right, to check this also there with your boarding card, with a scanner. Then you enter the areas on the air side and also there, boarding, lounge access, all with iScan, iris. This is what we're doing now. We see, again, we started last week with two touch points, but lounges access, and also one more feature we want to start soon to also develop. So it's now to scale it up, to roll it out, but I think that would be a nice benefit to really get these things now done, to get a much more automated terminal operation.
Right. So again, in terms of my journey, I literally look at a screen, I get into the security area, I go through security, which we hope becomes more and more efficient and contactless. I then go, and that would probably include my health certificate, or at some point.
That should be, or your mobile.
Yeah, and then I go down to the lounge, and I look at the door, and the door opens for me, and then someone inside knows who I am, and so forth. And then I get to the gate, and I board again by looking at a screen. Is that what you're saying?
That's already working here now. We have two gates just now testing this exactly. Right. As you're saying, so you don't need your mobile any longer. It's just also a little screen. You look into it. You need to be pre-registered for this one, but if one-time pre-registration on the Star Line. Sorry to talk about always Star Lines, but then you download the app and then you're in there. So, and that works then at each and every airport where this technology is in place. So I think we should get a lot of push from this.
Right, and do you think that's? Well, let me rephrase. What's the most urgent technology we need just to get over the crisis, do you think? Is it this one?
I believe for the terminal operation, it's a big one, but still I believe, I mean, this is a visible part for the passenger. I still believe what is also a very important exercise to continue with and to improve continuously is all our airports operation in terms of the critical systems. It's about the airport operational database. It's also about what we're talking about a lot, you know, these days with Eurocontrol. We need total airport management. We need network management. So it's really still to bring together the resources and the data from everyone at this airport. It's still, I believe, I mean, we're talking about this also for years now, but I think if you look at our daily operation, we still have so many fragmented system, fragmented resource allocation and planning. So really to also bring this together, to have really joint control rooms, I think there's still a long way to go. And I think this is a not visible part for passengers, but maybe even more important, just to optimize airport operation, to be more efficient. You can react with all resources immediately if it comes to delays or any other operational hiccups. And, you know, these are hundreds of hiccups and changes every day.
Yeah.
And again, you always work in a lot of systems and subsystems. So I think that's even the bigger exercise behind the wall.
Yeah. So just finally, as we get towards the end, you've just talked about all the invisible issues. Of course, airports are very, very visible if you're a local resident, aren't they? Visible and audible, of course. They can be heard. What's your relationship with your local community? And do you think that's a fundamental part of having a license to grow?
I believe so. I think it's, especially for us in Western Europe, one of the key elements. So, of course, we're all depending on the cooperation with our neighborhoods. We need to manage them somehow. We all know the truth is there's always an impact from aviation, from an airport. It's not only positive all the time. I mean, we're paying a lot of taxes, creating jobs, delivering growth, providing supplies. But, of course, we all know about the critical issues of noise, of carbon footprints these days. So I think the task remains the same. Again, it's no longer only the noise issues we see, but very much also handling even more in the future to be net carbon zero. You know, we have our roadmaps on ACI level now. We roll it out. I think we need to be very active on this side. I think we need to show the way forward to develop our own concept and implement them because we will depend on the acceptance of people and passengers traveling, not only the local neighborhoods, but also our passengers want us to become greener. They want us to be carbon neutral. So I think, that is very important, but also some maybe interesting from the crisis. I think for the very first time, you know, we have also some strong opposition from neighboring communities here. But now, in this crisis, when we needed to stop all our tax payments, reducing also employment levels everywhere around the airport, subcontractors, ground hand, I think suddenly for the first time people realize again what does it mean if your airport is not performing and is not growing but rather shrinking. So I think this very ambiguous relationship is also part of this crisis. People understand again what are the benefits why is it important to see the advantages of airports.
That must be a constant juggle for you though, to keep the local residents happy but understand the issues. Do you think Europe will ever build another runway?
Well, I think at the moment, our short term, you know, I think, of course, we are managing, as I said before, airport capacities for decades to come. And I think even now with this crisis, I think we still believe, as you know, we are forecasting in certain years, early as 2024, we expect to be back on all the record levels from 2019. So I think it's always important to keep the perspectives and the opportunities open. I think for the years to come, for us as the infrastructure at Munich Airport, it's most important to get much better access to our intermodality in terms of railway connection. We need more frequent, more direct connections from downtown Munich. We are already lobbying strongly for connecting into the regions, but also for having an inter-regional connection of any rail link traffic. So I think this is much more on the agenda for the next years, but also in terms of additional terminal capacity, and ultimately also I think runway, this is nothing I think we should say no, because I think there's still a long and successful future for airports to come.
I'm delighted to hear that. And that leads perfectly to my final question, which is the question I always ask at the end, which is, what do you think Eurocontrol can do to help facilitate all of this? What more are you looking to Eurocontrol for?
Well, I think, first of all, I think they're already doing right now in the crisis really a terrific job. I think really what the advocacy of Eurocontrol is really tremendous. I think they have already proven all the value they're adding to the whole industry in this crisis. I appreciate always this very, unfortunately, still negative, but really up-to-date news we always get from Eamon there. I really appreciate it because it's important to be transparent. It's important to get this information to see what's going on. What I already mentioned, I think what I believe is particularly important is the Eurocontrol Network Manager, this concept. I think there's something we should have also very much on our plans for the time when the recovery is done. And I think this is really hugely important. And again, I simply can say with all the knowledge and also the leadership they are taking during the crisis, this is so important. So no, I can only, not only because they are running the hard talk for both of us, Andrew, today, but I think this is also another example of providing a great platform for industry exchange. No, great job by Eurocontrol.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you found that as interesting and as informative as I did. Jos, thank you for your time. Thank you for your background, your wisdom, which I found really, really helpful. And I wish you a very good day. Thank you.
This episode is from our Aviation Straight Talk Live series, bringing you exclusive insights from aviation leaders across the world.